You may never look at city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm gonna get him!
And welcome, folks, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, glad to have you listeners checking in from all over the world. Got several emails from people in Europe wanting additional information about the Orlando situation, and we do have news that you're not going to hear elsewhere. Folks, let me tell you this. Our sources suggest that a second arrest, there is another person of interest. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, is this being reported on the mainstream, on the corporate media, Joe?
I did see a link to a second person being sought after. I don't know. There's been a lot of confusion in the mainstream media. A lot of interviews have been cut off.
Right, right.
There are some questions, but yes, I did see it on a forum, not on a news site. Not sure about a link to a second person.
Well, we were getting some information last night, and I do have to say this. It's difficult when the first reports are almost always incorrect and certainly inconclusive. You have to be very careful when you are reporting, and that's why there's so much irresponsible reporting in the not just in the mainstream media, but in the independent media. And you have to be extremely careful because a lot of times things are not always as they appear. And so what we like to do is we like to get the information, double source it, vet the source, and as well as vet the information. So I can tell you with certainty, and I don't know where this is going to go, but there will be an announcement, according to my law enforcement source in Orange County, Florida, that a second person was involved, at least one more person was involved in this, in helping carrying out this attack. Now, that's what I'm getting right now. I got today, earlier today, I got last night, 12:30 this morning, that is. And, in fact, we had done an update show, yesterday afternoon. And then, of course, I was on with Dave Hodges and Ted Brower both last night. And the bottom line was that I did not have this information. This information didn't come to our offices until 12:30 this morning when my source from Orange County, who I first met in 2005 or 2006. I'm not going to go any further except to say he's with a law enforcement agency in Florida. Said, look, you're going to be hearing some things about a secondary shooter. You know, I'll get back with you with respect to the veracity of this information, or a second, or an accomplice. Let me be very clear in my words, an accomplice. And, shortly thereafter, he contacted me back and said, look, we're, there appears to be another person of interest who assisted in carrying out this terrorist attack. Now, I'm not clear at this moment whether this person was on site or just in the background, but definitely a co-conspirator in this massacre.
And I have to say, just from the preliminary research I've been able to do, there is a lot more here than being reported.
Yes.
You have a contracted employee through the Department of Homeland Security that is the alleged mastermind and the one who carried out these attacks. The attack was on a homosexual nightclub. Credit has been given to ISIS as the shooter had bragged in his past. He had been investigated by the FBI three separate times. One of those right. times was in reference to his talking with coworkers about his Al-Nusra family affiliations.
Yep.
Even though ISIS and Al-Nusra are enemies, from what I understand.
Well, and Hezbollah. They're ideologically, there are some ideological differences, but regardless, and, yeah. they're looking at, they've got the same endgame objective.
And the shooter called and pledged his allegiance to ISIS allegedly before the attacks took place. I say allegedly because there is an eyewitness who was an injured victim at the shooting yep. who swears he saw this man. Who carried out the shooting, sitting at the bar drinking before last call. The question then is has to be asked, where did he hide the AK-47 or AR-15 or whatever the
whatever the long gun.
Yeah, and this brings us to another point. The anti-homosexual violence and with gun violence. And there is going to be calls for disarmament, for gun control, strict gun control laws. And it's going to fuel the lobby of anti-homosexual. It's linking anti-homosexuality with terror. And this is being done on purpose, I believe.
Well, yes, as we said yesterday, the endgame objective here is clear. It's to take away our rights to carry firearms. It is to take away our rights to criticize, be critical of the behavior, the homosexual behavior, okay, and to as well as other issues, hot button issues. So this is an attack, not only a physical attack, but an attack that's being exploited to further erode our First and Second Amendment rights and other rights, including our Fourth Amendment rights. As you'll see, calls for places like Apple or whatever encryption, whatever device has encryption, the encryption and privacy is going to be out the window. But
and the ISIS thing, I want to finish my thought
on
that before
on.
I forget.
Go on.
The ISIS claiming credit. They are allowing this to happen. They are propagating this narrative because they want us to know or think that ISIS is a force to be reckoned with here in America, saying this man was a lone wolf who is affiliated with ISIS.
Right.
When there was no connections to ISIS, there's also an article on Fox News, Islamic radicals want to kill all of us, gay, straight, Christian, and Jew, and that is true. And also, you know, the ISIS connection here, they want us to, like Homeland Security says, see something, say something. You know, basically there's, you know, watch your neighbor, watch your parents, because they could be terrorists. This plays into that narrative.
Well, yes, absolutely. Let me just give you a kind of an outline right now of the shooter. And the background, the necessary background. I'm going to do this very quickly okay. here, all right? And then some the outline, the things you need to know, and then a couple of, not rabbit trails, but a couple of important side roads here, and then the larger game plan, but just very quickly about the shooter. And again, we have a lot of people tuning in from Europe, and I want to say hello to you folks, even in real time, and I'm sure many will be listening via archive. But
and also on the show tonight, Jerome Corsi, last half hour, will be with us, and we'll get his take on matters that we're talking about as well.
Okay. Now, Omar Mateen was born November 16th, 1986. He was born in America. Now, Donald Trump was did a speech today, and he may, I don't know. I heard, not that it matters, but I heard something. I heard someone say that he might have placed the Mateen's location of birth in Afghanistan. But
yeah,
regardless of that,
from Afghanistan, right, he was brought here and born here.
Right. He was born here. Now, he was absolutely identified as the perpetrator at the Pulse Orlando shooting. He had been employed for 5 years with G4S. It's a British company, we said yesterday, it's a multinational British owned company with its headquarters in Jupiter, Florida. Folks, remember G4S, because this will play into a number of things, including Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton.
As well as the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes. Now, after high school, for a few years after high school, Mateen worked at a GNC store and was friends with both homosexual and lesbian waiters at a nearby restaurant. Now, think about that for a moment. It's kind of important to understand where he's coming from or where he was back then. He ran with his father a religious nonprofit organization called the Durand Jirga Inc. All right. Now, his father is Mir Siddiqui, or Siddiq, depending on how you want to pronounce that last name, who lives in Port St. Lucie, Florida. He was, Omar lives in, St. Lucie, Florida. Now, Omar's dad, Mir Siddiq, was affiliated with the Taliban. The family is ethnic Pashtun. That's an important tribal distinction. All right, now, his father, Mir Siddiqui, also ran for the president of Afghanistan last year. You can find numerous YouTube videos of Mir Siddiqui, the father of the shooter, in a foreign language, of course, but running for the office of the presidency. Of course, that never materialized. But nonetheless, you've got a political family, active political family in Arab/Islamic politics, Muslim politics. Where did Omar go to mosque? Where did he worship? And this is something that people need to understand too. Mosques, they're different from churches. They're different from synagogues. Mosques, the majority of them are, and Islamic centers are, indoctrination centers. And there's a lot of seditious speech taking place at mosques. Anti-American, anti-Jew, anti-Christian speech, and a lot of hate speech taking place at mosques. Now, that's uncomfortable to hear, perhaps.
The Fort Pierce Islamic Center is where Mateen worshipped several times a week. It was under investigation by both the FBI and the DHS as early as 2011 for ties to worldwide Islamic movement known as the Tawblight.
Jamal, which
linked to several terrorist organizations. Now, the interesting part of this, which can be found on InfoWars, is
Jamal, by the way, but
Hillary Clinton's State Department blocked investigations into the killer's mosque.
There
further proof Hillary fueled the rise of ISIS. Sorry for jumping again on that one.
The facts are right there. Okay. So you go ahead and go through that. But yes, Hillary Clinton did not allow for the mosque investigation when, in fact, there was evidence of activity against the security of the United States. And go through that. Go ahead.
It's being reported that the United States Department of State, while Hillary Clinton served as the Secretary of State, blocked investigations into the mosque that was attended by Omar Mateen, the Islamic terrorist that carried out the worst mass shooting in U.S. history at Orlando nightclub on Sunday morning. According to the recent report, Hillary Clinton's State Department did not investigate the Orlando Killer's Mosque because it unfairly singled out Muslims. which is more staggering proof that the left's ideology of political correctness is indirectly leading to innocence being murdered. A news article published by InfoWars noted that the Fort Pierce Islamic Center, where Mateen worshipped several times a week, later was under investigation by both the FBI and the DOJ back to 2011. But the investigation was shut down under pressure from the Clinton-ran State Department and the Department of Homeland Security, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties Office out of fear of offending Muslims, according to a recent retired DHS agent, Phil Haney.
All right, November 19th, 2015. Check Hillary Clinton's Twitter feed. November 19th, 2015. Let's be clear. Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. That is Hillary Rodham Clinton's Twitter, from Twitter, her Twitter feed. And that was November 19th, 2015.
And after this attack happened, she said it was not a terror-related attack, only having to walk that back today and say it was a radicalized Islamic terrorist who carried out the attack.
That's right.
So, you know, round of applause to Hillary.
There you go.
For finally telling a truth in the public arena for the first time
in her
life.
But she tempered that statement, though. She tempered it.
It was a good try.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody who lies every time they speak, for a half-truth to come out, I mean, that's like progress.
Well, all right, indeed. And we covered yesterday the fact that the political affiliation of the shooter, of course, Mateen, was a Democrat, according to state records. Why is that important? It's really not by itself, but when you look at the affiliations, you've got to just throw everything into the profile. Okay, so he's got Mateen had no previous criminal record. He was clean. In 2006, he legally changed his name from Omar Mir Siddiqui to Omar Mir Siddiqui Mateen, picking up Mateen. Now, his ex-wife says that he was physically abusive during the course of their brief marriage, and his parents had to rescue her, or her parents. I'm sorry. Her parents had to rescue her from their relationship. She said also that Mateen was taking steroids, abused steroids, and was diagnosed as being bipolar. That's according to his ex-wife. Now,
and did you see? I know you have a stack of papers there, so
that's right.
You're going through them one by one. But that it has been confirmed that the FBI introduced the Florida shooter to other informants.
Yes.
It's now been confirmed, in addition to two investigations and two interviews, Florida terror suspect Omar Mateen was also approached by informants working for the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigations over a period of 10 months. New York Daily News, in their article, FBI spied on Orlando gay club terrorist Omar Mateen for 10 months in 2013, under Director James Comey of the FBI, Mateen first appeared on the authorities' radar in 2013 after the security guard's colleagues alerted the FBI to inflammatory statements made to colleagues claiming family connections to Al-Qaeda, according to Comey. Mateen had also told co-workers he had a family member who belonged to Hezbollah, a Shia network that is a bitter enemy of ISIS, the network he pledged allegiance to the night of the carnage. Comey noted. The FBI Miami office opened an inquiry into Mateen. He said he hoped that law enforcement would raid his apartment and assault his wife and child so he could martyr himself. It goes on to say that the significance of this cannot be understated. Informants in this context, according to the FBI affidavits regarding similar counterterrorism investigation, refer to individuals posing as members of terrorist groups who approach suspects, coerce them into planning and preparing terrorist attacks before finally aiding the FBI in the suspect's arrest before the attack is actually carried out. Mm-hmm. There have been many examples of this in the past where FBI handlers had approached someone they believe has become radicalized, given them weapons, munitions, and whatnot. This is from the FBI's own affidavits, which are on a PDF you can find at blacklistnews.com. And it talks about in detail in the FBI PDFs how in some cases, they've given, you know, 6 or 7 AR-15s to suspects. Others, they've given explosives to, or dummy explosives in some cases. And that the news site, The Intercept, revealed that an FBI informant, not Medina, came up with the idea of crediting the planned attack to the Islamic State. I mean, this attack. The Intercept, in its recent article, before nightclub shooting, FBI pursued questionable Florida terror suspect, would note the FBI Miami office who investigated Mateen has been among the Bureau's most active and aggressive counterterrorism units. And it also goes on to say that they would credit this attack to the Islamic State. Upon reading the FBI's affidavit on this, it is clear the FBI informant encouraged and walked Medina through every aspect of the planned attack, including provoking him with what he thought was an explosive device. It goes pretty deep here.
Yeah. It. We are looking at a number of complex relationships with respect to the FBI's involvement. In 2013, that's when the FBI first opened an investigation into Mateen, into Omar Mateen, to see if he had ties to terrorist groups. The investigation, of course, as we said yesterday, and we're going to reaffirm, was in fact and verify that it was as a result of a tip from coworkers from his position as a security guard at G4S. Now, the investigation stopped when the FBI could not confirm any actual terrorist ties, but according to our sources, yes, there were some anti. Well, there's a lot of rhetoric there. Daniel Gilroy, a former co-worker, said that, described Mateen as unhinged, saying hateful things and talked about killing people all of the time. Okay? So, he also said that Omar stalked and harassed him by sending him roughly 30 phone and text messages a day. Now, this Daniel Gilroy alleges that even after he told the people at G4S about this behavior, no action was taken since Omar Mateen was Muslim and that he had to quit since he couldn't take the abuse. That's Daniel Gilroy saying, look, I got to get out of here. I can't take this anymore. Now, there was another coworker who came forward. His name is Eric Baumer. He said that he, meaning Omar, had bad things to say about everybody, blacks, Jews, homosexuals, many politicians, and even our soldiers. He had a lot of hate in him. He told me, meaning Eric Baumer, that America destroyed Afghanistan. Okay, so in 2014, Omar was investigated by the FBI again for potential links to an American suicide bomber in Syria, Moner Abu Salah, but found that the connections were, in their words, well, negligible. All right, now, despite being investigated twice for links to terrorism, Omar was legally able to purchase an AR-15 rifle and a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. Or, I'm sorry, more than one, perhaps, 9mm semi-automatic pistols from the St. Lucie Shooting Center, which he used at the during the shooting. All right, now, we also have information, and I'm not sure if any of this, I don't know how much of this is on the mainstream media, that Omar Mateen had indeed sought and conducted surveillance of other locations, including Disney World.
That's on the mainstream news, okay, that he did scout Disney World, and that they think that that was his primary target, but for some reason that changed. Also, it's being reported in the mainstream news on the top of Drudge, actually, that a second suspect is being sought in connection to this Orlando nightclub shooting. And there is also the issue at hand of the doors being held shut from the outside, as the two gentlemen who were responsible for that have been apparently identified and interviewed, basically saying that they held the door shut as they heard the shots continuing to grow louder and closer towards them, and were afraid that the shooter was going to come outside and shoot them. It's unknown how many deaths, if any, holding those doors shut led to, but apparently it saved lives of those outside if the gunman were to come outside. There were about 20 people there trying to escape through a hole in the fence who were not injured or killed in the shooting because the shooter did not make his way outside those doors. It's also being reported that there was potentially two shooters, these things usually do.
And as, you know, again, we perhaps, I don't know, I've not been able to listen to the independent media or any media today.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is being reported anywhere else, but we've got it on solid ground that there was an accomplice. Now, you said two shooters. I don't know
this
about that.
On InfoWars right now, Pulse attack survivor. There were multiple gunmen. Witness claims right. Single shooter narrative is false. So that's what I'm basing this on.
All right.
And we will see as the time progresses and as the investigation continues what breaks in the case and what, you know, we will find out, at least as the mainstream media presents it, what their truth is versus the independent media and alternative media and their findings and what their truth is. And we're going to have to decipher between them all and look for the actual truth. Not to get too far off topic here, I want to kind of tell a humorous story, Dan. I didn't tell you this yet. But yesterday, I was with my wife. Me and my wife were having a good day. And I went to my mother's for dinner. But just before I went to my mother's, I got a call from my dad. And he mentioned the attack. And I had not heard or seen what was going on. So I had about a half hour before I needed to be at my mother's, and I called her, asked her if we could eat earlier, because we did an hour show last night that you can find on YouTube if you want after the show's over. It was a special one-hour Sunday report on the Orlando shooting. Well, long story short, I check out the news, and I'm at my mom's house, and on my iPhone I have a news function feature that you can put all your favorite news sites on and go through them, and I was reading through different things and made it over here in time. Well, when we were on the air, and I looked at the mirror here before I left, and my hair grows funny. It grows, the sides grow out, and it grows real fast. So when I got home, I thought I was going to save some money on a haircut.
What'd you do, whip out a Flobee?
I have an actual hair trimmer, but what I did was, and you can't tell now because I had to go get my haircut today, I gouged a big hole in my head.
Yeah, nice.
I was using a comb and everything, trying to get it right. Just advice out there, don't try to cut your own hair, especially if you don't have any experience in it. But I didn't tell you that. I mean, if I would have came in today, you would have sent me home. So I had to go get a haircut today before I got here, but you can actually still see it a little bit right here. There's still a little hole right here.
So when you went there, when you went to get your haircut, what would they say?
I told them I had a hat on.
Would you run into a fan or something?
I had a hat on, and I told the lady, I said I tried to do some self-barbering, and she laughed at me when I took my hat off. My wife was with me, and she was laughing too, and the lady fixed it, thankfully. But I just thought that was funny. I wanted to tell that story.
Well, that explains a few things, right? No, that is kind of humorous in terms of, okay, wow. Well, next time, just shave it all off. And yeah, your hair.
Yeah, I'll just get a haircut next time for professionals.
All right. I also want to bring this to people's attention, the shooter. And again, a lot of this is for people overseas who are not getting the news. But Omar Mateen was a follower of a specific imam. This imam preached hatred of homosexuals and Christians and Jews, and essentially hatred of anyone non-Muslim. He was recently released from prison, this imam, despite the warnings from prosecutors that he had terror ties. Now, who is this imam? Well,
and his father, too, was very pro-Islamic.
Of course.
Very radical and possibly
fundamental
with the imam,
radical.
I would imagine that this Omar was turned on to this imam probably through his father.
Well, okay. See, Mateen took lessons in the Islamic religion from Marcus Dwayne Robertson. This guy is a former gang leader from New York who lives in Florida. And he's been accused of helping terrorists, this according to a couple of news outlets, including Fox News. Now, we've been actively pursuing, not watching, but looking at the different printed reports or reports in print and some of the transcripts of news shows, and found out that this is being reported. Now, it's no coincidence that this happened in Orlando. Mateen was enrolled in this Marcus Dwayne Robertson on his online Fundamental Islamic Knowledge Seminary. Okay, now Robertson, who the report said openly, enthusiastically preached against things such as homosexuality, spent 4 years in prison in Florida for weapons violations and tax fraud. Now the latter
is employed as a contractor for the U.S. government through a security company?
No. This is
Okay, the imam.
Right. And actually, the IRS had found that this imam, who is in prison, in part because of tax fraud, the tax fraud had to do with money being used to send a colleague overseas for terror training. And see, they let this guy out of prison. Now, you've got to follow the dots of Marcus Dwayne Robertson, this gang leader from New York, which turns in turn goes has ties, at least on the periphery, this Marcus Dwayne Robertson, to the Pakistani Sheikh Mubarak Ali Jalani. Okay, now from Pakistan. Now this seems a little bit odd because Mateen's father is anti-Pakistan. All right, there's a lot of differing ideology here. So how is that possible? Well, it doesn't matter because the training, the paramilitary training, in the association of Marcus Dwayne Robertson, allegedly, have to say that, to the Quranic Institute, which we conducted surveillance on in upstate New York at the Catskill Mountains. The Islamberg. All right. There are ties here to this paramilitary training. So when we, folks, here's the thing. When we said, and when we reported on the paramilitary training in urban and rural areas, especially in New York, which we laid eyes on, we had eyes on, we reported through surveillance, we talked to neighbors, we showed images of school buses shot up. We showed the images of the camps, paramilitary training camps. Mm-hmm. We provided the documentation from witnesses who saw these men, primarily
the training, terror training, right, that was going on. You know, in places not only where we were, but other places in near Dearborn, Michigan. There's one in Florida. I believe there's one out in Montana. The police will not even go into these places.
Of course not.
The one we went to in Buffalo was an old armory.
Yep.
And it had old school bus, yellow school buses there, full of holes that people were, you know, doing training exercises, scaling walls with weapons on them.
Now, let me be clear, because I don't want to get sued here. Okay, the school bus was in Islamberg.
Okay.
I
thought that was in Buffalo.
No, the one in Buffalo was the video footage of the young men being taught how to scale walls. Now, this was denied by the.
And imagine this, you're in a neighborhood, this neighborhood surrounds this armory, The armory is owned by Muslims that use it for training grounds. And the people that live in the houses around the area are also, I would say, radicalized Muslims, because they would not allow surveillance type of activities to take place there.
Sure.
They would give you dirty looks. They would, you know, make veiled references to having weapons on them, being very aggressive in their confrontations about what you're doing there in their neighborhood. You'd be run out.
So all of this said, where are we at here looking at this? So,
but that's not the problem. See, the guns are the problem,
right.
and the homophobia is a problem, and the anti-illegal immigration is the problem. That's who we blame for all this, because
that's right.
That's what they tell us to blame.
Well, Dave Hodges was correct to the extent that he is saying consider a Tet-like offensive against 50 American cities by ISIS. Now, he wrote this column today, and according to his insider sources, I'll just say this. He was one of the very first to say that that events related to Benghazi, the quality of the sources, you know, was right on target. Now, he reports in this article that in 68, right after the LBJ was repeatedly telling the American people that we were winning the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong attacked every single capital in every single South Vietnam province. Well, what Dave Hodges' inside sources are saying is, look, they're going to use the Tet Offensive from Vietnam, the North Vietnamese Tet Offensive, as a template for attacks here in the United States. All right. I've got similar information, not to the extent that Dave Hodges has, but I will say this right now as we speak. According to the activity on the forums and message boards in Arabic and Farsi that we monitor, there are attacks being planned, and there are assets in place all across the United States and to hit soft targets. Shopping centers, including schools and theme parks, sports events.
He was seeing at least a dozen.
This is Mateen now you're talking about,
Mateen,
right?
Yeah, Mateen was seen over a dozen times at this nightclub before the shooting took place.
Right.
Also, he was spotted at Disney World in April.
Right.
According to a manager who wanted to remain anonymous, and FBI Director James Comey said his agency was trying to nail down that report that possibly linked Mateen to scouting the amusement park as a potential target, according to the Associated Press. Now, this is all before the shooting took place.
Right. Right. And you're going to find that you will see, and this is something you're going to find in the days ahead, people placing Mateen, as you said, in various locations, including that nightclub. Now, what was his presence there? What was the purpose of his presence? Most will say, and I tend to agree with this, it was for surveillance. Now, by the way, folks, we don't intend to spend the entire show on this shooting, but I just want to, again, pull back the cameras, pull back the aerial viewer, or pull back the view of this so it's not so concentrated on this shooting. Just understand this, that what we're seeing take place today is part of a larger plot. Now, you're going to hear people say, well, there's no evidence of any ties to organized terror groups. Well, I don't know what in the world you call this.
When the guy calls the police and tells them he's about to do a mass killing because he's pledging his allegiance to ISIS.
Yeah.
What more do you need? And the gun issue is a big thing. You know, we've seen Obama come out and say, you know, this might be a reason to further restrict gun measures. You see Clinton coming out saying the same thing, that gun control is needed. But neither Clinton nor Obama are in either way qualified or should even have a say in the matter, seeing that Obama has continuously armed Syrian rebels or Al-Qaeda in Syria that has led to the massacre of how many thousands of people, not including Fast and Furious, giving guns to drug cartels and other people, and Hillary Clinton selling 150 million to 500 million worth of arms to Saudi Arabia when she was in the State Department. But they want gun restrictions here in this country.
And Hillary Clinton pledged to instill gun restrictions should she become the next president. And I take her at her word. We saw her as co-president in the...
when the Brady Bill was passed?
Well, yeah. The end game here is to take away our rights, First and Second Amendment.
And based on the gun laws that there are today, this man had no criminal record, this shooter. He was a security guard. He not only was able to buy a gun, he owned guns. He was as eligible to buy as many guns as he wanted. He applied for a state security guard license that allows him to hold and carry a firearm. He passed a psychological exam. He had no criminal record. He could buy as many guns as he want, as he was not a convicted felon facing felony charges or misdemeanor or domestic charges, domestic violence charges. He was not a drug abuser, a fugitive. He was the subject of a domestic violence injunction. Someone in the country illegally, someone who'd been dishonorably discharged from the military. He was not, he was found by a judge to be mentally competent, or he was not found by a judge to be mentally incompetent. And this article says you cannot be deprived of rights because of an accusation. If you were to go by the laws that are in place for gun restrictions, aside from the FBI probes, of his due to his talking about and talking up terrorism and violence, which should have been the biggest red flag of the gun buying process, that was not counted. He legally was allowed to purchase as many guns as he wanted, going through the background checks that Obama has touted, going through the screening, criminal screening and psychological screening Obama has touted as these great gun control measures.
But stop there, because you here's how I see it, okay? Here in this country, and I've said this before, I said this on Dave Hodges' show and Ted Brewer's show and our show and every show I'm allowed to say this. It's my view, personal view, my professional assessment that Islam is not a religion. You know this. It is masquerading as a religion or being presented as a religion when in fact, by definition, it is more of a cult / political operation or ideology. Okay. It is not first a religion. Now, having said that, all right, if you classify Islam because of its unique characteristics in terms of Sharia law and the archaic nature, the arcane laws that are related to the true Islam, some call it radical. Others call it fundamental. Why not just call it Islam?
See, yeah, you do. Okay. You call it true Islam because it encompasses all that is called for in the Quran, including
right.
the violence.
Now, you're going to have people who don't adhere to that true Islamic right. doctrine, and they're called moderate Muslims. However, regardless, if war was declared against ISIS... And this is, well, I'm not going to get into why it's on, but we must take a look at every, and I'm not going to be apologetic on this. We must take a look at every person who is a Muslim, because Islam is incompatible with our representative republic because it requires the implementation of Sharia.
Yeah.
All right.
Even Herman Cain was talking about this on his show today. In talking about the mindset of many of these illegal immigrants brought in specifically from places like Syria and in the war-torn Middle East, that they not only bring their families and that they bring their ideology, and they don't expect to assimilate into our country. They expect the country to bend over backwards and allow them to operate under Sharia law. They want to be able to honor kill their wife if they feel so, because it is not a freedom of their country or something that they want a law from their country to be brought over here. They believe it is their religious duty, which goes beyond the law. It would be like for us in the to follow the Constitution or to follow the Bible before the Constitution, which is what we should do. But in Islam,
right,
they believe in carrying out the Islamic law before a national law in the country they
represent. Right, and this is why you're seeing parallel courts develop in Europe, especially in the UK. You're seeing Sharia overtake and replace their laws.
So if you want to kill your wife, just say, hey, I converted.
We have intimate knowledge and intimate experience with this because Muzamil or Mo Hassan from Bridges TV out of Buffalo, New York, we had dialogue with Mo Hassan, the co-founder of Bridges Television. Now, if that sounds familiar, he's the guy that lopped off his wife's head, yep, in the studio, mm-hmm, of Bridges TV a number of years ago.
I think it was about 2 years ago, yeah.
That was, I think, maybe a little longer than that. But anyway, I had the FBI come to my home and say, look, you better watch it because Mo's really hacked off at you. All right? Okay? I mean, pardon the pun.
I remember.
Yeah. And they tossed down a picture of Mo. I mean, we already knew what he looked like. And another gentleman and said, look, we can't tell you, we can't provide, security for you.
Can't protect you.
But we just want to let you know. And you might want to just temper your remarks when you're on WBEN out of Buffalo, New York, and talking to Tom Bowerly about Bridges TV. You just might want to not do that. And I said, no. I'm not going to. No. Well, years later, old Mo kills his wife. And I'm not making light of that murder, but he did use her head as a soccer ball in the studios of Bridges Television.
Yeah. And before I forget, yesterday what we reported during our hour segment, there was also in Los Angeles, there was a gay pride parade being held where a man with an arsenal of explosives and weaponry was arrested in his car, allegedly about to carry out a terrorist attack. And
yes,
it seems,
yes,
that there are other situations brewing around the country. There is an active shooter situation in, where is it here? Apologize, give me a minute. There's something going on in Paris, West Virginia. 3 dead in West Virginia during an active shooter situation. But it seemed like yesterday that there was a number of coordinated attacks to be carried out on the LGBT community through Muslim radicalized men.
If you want to really solidify a cause, or if you want to make martyrs out of people, you kill them. Well, obviously, right? Yeah, how else are you going to make a martyr? But if you really want to increase the visibility of someone's cause, you kill them. If you want to create a national or international pity, and I'm not saying this divisively, or I'm not saying this, I'm saying this is a tactic. You kill them.
I started watching X-Files recently, the original one, and it's a show that I've never watched before, but one of the things that keeps reoccurring on these episodes I see is I think Mulder is the male detective or FBI agent.
Yep.
And they
yep.
keep saying, well, we're not going to kill Mulder. We don't want to make him a martyr.
Right.
And,
right.
and, you know, give credence to his life work.
Exactly. Well, one more thing before the top of the hour here, and then we can go to the larger scope of things and how this all plays into the larger scope. I do want to mention this, and this is a conversation, again, that I had with my law enforcement source. I had with both Ted Brewer and Dave Hodges and a couple of other individuals. When you start doing the math of the people that were killed in this nightclub, you had 50 or 49 dead, 50 with a shooter, but 49 dead. And then upwards of another 50 injured, more than 50 injured, okay?
53.
You start counting the bullets. You start counting the ammunition. And you start doing some math. Math figures prominently into this, all right? generally, if it was an AK or AR-15, you've got similar weight of ammunition, similar mass of ammunition. So,
it was reported that he had a few Glocks and a long gun. He made purchases maybe a few days to a week prior than from the shooting.
Yes. It was within the week.
Okay,
but looking at the math of this, now, and understanding that he had tactical training, you still have to do some math in your head. Where are you going to, how are you going to bring all of this, not just the armaments, but the ammunition into the nightclub? The weight, the mass of the magazines, whether the magazines, I suspect, were filled. He didn't sit there and reload and fill the magazines. So
yeah,
when you start doing the math of the number of bullets fired.
100% accuracy rate is over 100 bullets.
No.
If he had 100% accuracy rate. If every bullet that he shot was a hit, that's a minimum
that's
of
assuming,
100 bullets.
That's assuming it would be 99. That's assuming the other 50 were injured or shot.
What was it, 48 dead, 53?
49 wounded. 50 with a shooter. So here's what we're saying. When we look at this and when we're looking at this, and I spoke again to my law enforcement source, the math doesn't work out, quite simply. Okay, so where was there another person inside? We know there was an accomplice.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean there was an accomplice inside as well? Because that is a lot of ammunition to carry. Was he in good shape? He was in good shape. However, the math.
It's being reported that he was semi-regular at this club. He also, allegedly, his preliminary reporting has not been verified, had a, apparently there's a gay dating app, Grindr. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Apparently, a Lander shooter was a regular at Pulse, had Grindr profile, meaning it's a gay dating app for hookups on his phone.
Right.
Unconfirmed.
Well, okay.
And I will look to confirm that.
Now that could be, you know, and on his phone, right, you said?
Yes.
Now, we know, and I don't know if this is being reported either, that Mateen had an Android as opposed to a smartphone.
Okay,
so the encryption process, not as strict as an iPhone. I don't know where that might be. So that could very well be part of the behavioral analysis, meaning it could be a tactic of surveillance, or it could be his proclivities. But bear in mind, you know, he was married and abusive to his first wife and only wife, but that's meaningless.
And we can't forget here,
marriage-wise,
what is allowed to happen with the U.S. news media. There is a marriage, a sick marriage between the media, Hollywood,
yes,
and propaganda.
Yes,
it is law that the U.S. government is allowed to issue propaganda or broadcast propaganda in America under the NDAA. Which legalizes the use of propaganda against the public. There is also the United States Air Force Cyberspace and Information Operations Psychological Warfare Studies, and the U.S. recently ended its ban on domestic propaganda last year in a law. So this is something that we have to remember and keep in mind when we listen to mainstream reporting agencies. They're allowed not only to lie to you, but they're allowed to make up the narrative that they want to lie to you about.
A lot of this, and by the way, we're going to be talking somewhat about this tomorrow night as we are joined by Steve Quayle tomorrow night and Pastor David Langford.
Can't wait to get their take on
this. Well, actually, tomorrow night we're going to be talking about, among other things, the Mandela effect.
Good.
No.
Because there's some things
you
that
may
found
say
out.
Good.
There's some things I find out that I'm not too sure about. I think it's more in people's minds than they realize.
Well, okay. And Steve and I had a super long conversation about this, and I said, Steve, all right, you know, I mean, but you're going to be, that's just a small part of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night with Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle, but he's got some very interesting perspective on the Mandela effect. That's tomorrow night, Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford. You're not going to want to miss that. But he had convinced me, based on the totality of information he had provided to me, that you're probably correct in terms of, well, the neuro-linguistic programming that we're seeing here, we are all victims of. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the network news. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you, Global Star, for being there for us. Hang in there.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.